Let's bow our heads for prayer one more time. Dear Father, as we worship you this morning, as we study thy word, we earnestly plead for your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and minds with wisdom, knowledge and understanding, and an extreme love for each other. Lord, help us to understand what the body, the church body, Christ's body is all about. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about fellowship in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many figures of speech to describe the church. The church is described as a building, and the members of the church are the building blocks in that building, while Christ is the foundation. The church is also described as a bride, Christ himself being the bridegroom. But the figure of speech that we're going to be talking about today is that the church is described as a body with Christ as the head, and we the members of his body. Friends, it's so important that we understand that while Jesus Christ and the church are not identical, they are inseparable. Like the bride and the groom, the foundation and the building, the head and the body. Now, it's kind of popular today to say, well, I'm a Christian, and I like going to church once in a while. I believe in organized churches, but I don't believe in the organization like we have today. Jesus, yes, but the church, no. And so they don't attend. Oh, they may be members and go about three or four times a year. When they're born, they get dedicated. Then when they're married, they go. And when they die, the funeral is there. So they go when they're hatched, when they're matched, and when they're dispatched. But the Bible says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, Hebrews 10:25. I want you to look again in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Now here we want to understand something about the church and your personal place in the church. For as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, if I could leave this thought in your heart today, it is this. You are somebody in his body. You are important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are important to his church. Every one of you are important to Midtown Seventh-day Adventist Church. I want you to know that. And the church is vitally important to you. May the Holy Spirit write that in your heart and help you to understand that you are somebody in his body, and that the church is a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in that church that we have fellowship with each other and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now please think with me. First of all, I want you to think with me about the function of a body. And I want you to really pay close attention to the points I'm going to cover this morning. You really need to do some serious thinking and listening so you won't miss the important principles and lessons that this message is teaching today. What is a body? Well, a human body is a physical body, and the church is akin or similar to that. So what is the purpose of my body? Well, first of all, in my body, there is a manifested person. Look at me. Do you see me? You don't see me. What you see is my body. I am only inside looking out at you. You see my body, but I am not a body. I have a body. I live in here. It's called my earthly body. My earthly house. But all you know about me, you know through this thing called my body. You don't know me any other way. All you ever know about Pastor Fry is what you see. You cannot know anything else about me apart from my body. You say, yes, I can. I can read what you wrote. Well, who wrote it? This body. Well, I can hear what you say. Who says it? This body. You see, there's no way you can know anything of a fact about me apart from my body. Now, you're wondering where I'm going with this. You're going to see. It is my body that manifests me. Everything you know about me, you have learned through my body. The body is a manifested person. So, my friends, what is the purpose of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to manifest Jesus and to make Him known to this world. As He inhabits our humanity, we display His deity. And Jesus Christ is known through His body, the Church. That's kind of frightening to me. Do you know what the city knows about Jesus Christ? All they can know is what they can learn through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, through you and through me. We are to reveal Jesus' character to them through our lifestyle. Jesus is the invisible part of the visible church. And the church is the visible part of the invisible Christ. Do you understand that? Now, in the body, there is a manifested person. And in a body, there is a ministering purpose. Why does my body exist? To serve me, of course. It doesn't exist for any other purpose except to do the will of the person who lives inside this body. I don't want my body to be doing anything for me. Nothing. I want to do something through it. Now think with me for a moment. The body is not here to do something for us, but it is here to serve us. I hope as we go through here, you're equating this to the church. I don't want to wake up tomorrow morning and have my hand greet me and say, good morning, I'm here to shave you today. I'm here to scratch your ear and write a few letters. That would frighten me. Now I want my hand to be there and to do my bidding. The body is to minister the life of the person who lives inside that body. Who lives in the church? Jesus Christ. I am told that after World War II, there was a cathedral that had been bombed in Europe, and some of the GIs thought they would help to rebuild that cathedral. In the courtyard of that cathedral, there was a statue of the Lord Jesus, who was there with his arms outstretched. They found most of the parts of that disintegrated statue, and they put it together. But they could not find the hands. Somebody got a sign and put these words on it. He has no hands but our hands, and hung it on the statue. Now, isn't that so true? He has no hands but our hands. We are His hands and His feet and His voice to minister to those here in our area and to each other. Next, in our body, not only is there a manifested person and a ministering purpose, but there must be a motivating power. A motivating power. What makes our body is that it not only has eyes and hands and fingers and feet and legs and arms, but it has life. It has life. There is a breath of life in us. The breath of life. When a person dies, he does what? He gives up the breath or the spirit. Now, what makes a church a body is this. The church has life. The life of our body is the spirit or the breath of life, and the Holy Spirit is what gives life to the church. That's why we need to pray earnestly for the Holy Spirit to fill our sanctuary, to fill each one of us. We sing and we pray and we teach. But all is in vain unless the Holy Spirit is infused in all of our worship to give life to our services. We don't want dead services. A body without the spirit or breath is a corpse. But a spirit without a body is a ghost. The church is neither a corpse or a ghost. It is a body. It is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ to minister His purpose, motivated by His power, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We are not merely an organization. We are an organism. Now, because there is a ministering purpose and a motivating power, there must be a mutual program where we do it together. Please look in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 12, verse 13. There it says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we are bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing?" Can you just imagine a 150-pound eyeball rolling around? Continuing on now. "If the whole body were the hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And if they were all just one member, where would the body be?" Friends, we don't have a one-member body any more than we have a one-brick building. There are many bricks building this church. And there are many, many people, members, in our church here. So just what is Paul saying here? Well, he's saying that we have a mutual program. We have many members, but they all have one agenda. We should have this one agenda. So therefore, the Bible is not against organization. Our bodies are organized. That's the reason they call the parts of your body organs. Because they're organized. They're organized in your body. Sometimes people foolishly say, "I have my own religion, but I am against organized religion." Well, if you mean you're against an organized church, you don't understand the Bible. The body must be organized in order to function. And when your body ceases to be organized, you become sick. Very sick. Thank you, Lord, for organization. Now, organization is not the purpose we exist for. It is to help us to meet our purpose. It is like digestion. When digestion is working correctly, you are not aware of it. But when digestion is not working correctly, bring on the Prilosec and the Tums. That's about the only thing you are aware of. So, we are to work together in harmony. The Bible says that everything be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. When my ministry makes problems for your ministry, or your ministry makes problems for my ministry, either I am wrong, you are wrong, or we are both wrong. When the members of my body are rightly related to the head, there is harmony. When this hand is related to the head, and this hand is related to the head, these hands have to be related to each other. They must work together. Now that is a function of the body. Just look at your fingers. Look how marvelously they work together to form and pick things up, do things. Marvelous. Now let's talk about the formation of the body. How does this church get to be a body? Well, let's look in chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we are bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Friends, that one Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So how is the church body formed? Well, first there is the supernatural birth. You are born again when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Verse 13 calls it drinking into one Spirit. That one Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He is to you what water is to your body. Jesus says, I am the water of life. If you are thirsty, you can come to me and drink, and there will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus is indeed that water of life. And we drink the water of life through the Holy Spirit. Today, if you are spiritually thirsty, you will never find satisfaction until you drink from heaven's well. And with joy, you draw water from the well of salvation. I tell you this with all my heart. If you will trust Jesus today, He will change your life radically, dramatically, eternally. And you will be so glad you trusted Jesus. I wish I could do it for you, but I cannot. Each one must do it for themselves. There will be a supernatural birth. And after a supernatural birth, there will be a spiritual baptism. Look again in verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So just who is the baptizer here? The Holy Spirit. Into what does He baptize us? Into the body of Christ. Who does He baptize? All of us. The baptizer is the Holy Spirit. The believer is baptized, and he is baptized into the body of Christ. Is that what verse 13 says here? For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body? The Holy Spirit of God places us into the body of Christ. So when does that take place? When you surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, He places you into the body of Christ, the church. Now, sometimes people will ask you, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, they really mean something subsequent or following salvation. But this is not something following salvation, because some would have it and some would not. But it says, by one Spirit have you all All is all-inclusive. All then baptized into one body. In the New Testament, no believer is ever commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God would not command you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit because you already have been. For by one Spirit have you all been baptized. You see, in Spirit baptism, you are placed into the body of Christ. But when you're filled, your body is now yielded to Christ. So we are to be filled, and every part of our body is to be yielded to Jesus because we are His body. We are in His body. The Holy Spirit of God has placed each surrendered soul supernaturally into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are two kinds of baptism. There is spiritual baptism and there is physical baptism. Baptism by the Spirit and baptism with water. John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water. But there is one coming after me who is mightier than me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit," meaning the Lord Jesus. Now please listen. Over there is a baptistry. It is a liquid tomb. A liquid tomb. When believers in the Lord Jesus Christ receive Him into their hearts, they're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. They should show it by water baptism. However, it is not water baptism that puts you into Christ. It is a Spirit baptism that puts you into Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit puts you into the body of Christ, while water baptism is the outward symbol, emblem, illustration, and proclamation that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, you should be baptized with water, but only after you believe and are taught and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is an outward emblem and a symbol of your having been placed by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. A supernatural birth, a spiritual baptism, and then a single body. Look at it again in verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into how many bodies? One body. A single body. God's church. The Holy Spirit takes many of us and makes us one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4 verse 4 says that there is one body and one Spirit. And I say, praise the Lord. That's why there is true unity of all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the third thing of the body. It's the fellowship of the body. Well, just what is the fellowship of the body? First of all, because we are in the body, we share a common life. Look in verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So, just what is he saying here in these verses? Well, he is saying that we are bound together and we share a common life because of the Holy Spirit that is in you. And the Holy Spirit that is in you is the same Spirit that is in me. We belong to one another and must not be in competition with one another. Nor should we live in isolation of one another. The foot and the hand both belong to the body. Now, look at your hands. Look at your hands. They're generally more attractive than the feet. What you're generally not as attractive as your hands. The foot, though, is not as noticeable as the hands. But you would have had difficulty getting to church today without your feet. Each member of the body is important. The hands, the eyes, the ears, the feet. You see, God created us so that we need one another. Yeah. I need you and you need me. We need one another. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I think it is. I am so blessed to have all of you as my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Do you ever wonder why God made us different? He made us different so that He could make us one. Yes. He made us different so He could make us one. Eyes are beautiful. Eyes are the mirror of the soul. You look into a sweet Christian's eyes and you can just seem to see the beauty of Jesus in the person who really loves the Lord. I see that in many of you here today. But suppose you opened the dresser drawer and about 9 eyes were in there rolling around. You'd faint. Suppose you walked into the foyer of a church out here this morning and there was a hand lying on the floor. Gross. You see, we have significance as we find ourselves attached to in the body. When we are apart from the body, it's bad news. We have significance as we find ourselves in the body united. God made us different that He might make us one. If you go to our library after the service today, you don't just send your hand in there to get literature. You go in. You don't send your eyes in there to look at a book. You go in there as a body. Now, some members of the body don't seem to be very necessary. Question. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for your pancreas? Or you thanked God for your wonderful spleen? You don't do that until your pancreas starts acting up. Then you might say, "Thank you, Lord, for my pancreas working well." Friends, we take things for granted until they are gone or begin to malfunction. Each one of us are vital and important. So what I am saying is this. What is the fellowship of the body? We share a common life. And not only do we share a common life, but we are to show a common love for each other. Jesus said, they'll know you are my disciples by your love for each other. We need to love one another. And that's just not phony baloney, that is real love. Look in verse 25 now, 1 Corinthians 12. God says there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now I want you to please think with me now. Because we're in the same body, there can be no arrogance. I can never say, "I don't need you." There can be no envy. I cannot say, "I want to be an eye like you rather than an ear," or whatever. There can be no rivalry. We belong to one another. I don't need to try to get ahead of you. There can be no self-sufficiency where I try to operate apart from you. There can be no disunity where I don't like you. We are not divided. We are all one body in hope and doctrine. We are one in charity. That means love. Onward then, you people. Join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. That's one of our hymns. We belong to one another. He says here that when one member suffers, every member suffers with it. Have you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? I mean really hit it hard. I'm talking about one that gives you a black and blue thumbnail for 6 months. What's the first thing you did? I wasn't there, but I'll tell you exactly the first thing you did. You grabbed it. Your hand came to rescue your thumb. The second thing you did was to pop it in your mouth. Don't say you didn't. You did. The third thing you did was to do a little dance. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Sure you did that. Now, what do the knees have to do with the thumb? I don't know, but you have to have that little dance. It is all together. When one member suffers, every member suffers with it. When one of our brothers and sisters in the church is hurting, we should all gather together and pray to help that person. We should bear one another's burdens, the Bible says, because we are one body. When my thumb hurts, I ache all over. When you eat something really delicious, every member rejoices. That's what God has intended the church to be. Friends, when we come to church and share our sorrows, they are divided. And when we share our joys, they are multiplied. That's why we have church. That is the fellowship. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We share the same life, and we show the same love. Why? Because we serve the same Lord. Friends, Jesus Christ and His church are inseparable. Verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." Loyalty to Jesus means loyalty to His body. You cannot love Jesus without loving what Jesus loves. A pastor visited a beautiful home of a cultured young couple with no children in their home. However, there was a dog that the members of the family just fawned over, petted, and loved, and cuddled, and coddled. The pastor said, "I may be walking on thin ice, but I want to ask you a question. You love God. You are intelligent. You have many creature comforts, but there are no children in this home. I see the love that you lavish upon that dog. Forgive me for asking, but have you considered having a child that you might show that love to that child?" When the pastor said that, the woman burst into tears, sobbed in anguish, and ran out of the room. The pastor said, "Uh-oh, I said something very wrong. Forgive me. What did I say? I know I said something terribly wrong." The husband said, "Pastor, there was no way you could know, but we did have a child, a boy. He was the light of our lives and the love of our hearts. He was taken ill and died. The doctors say that we can never have another child. This dog, which you see, was his dog. He dearly loved this dog. Before he died, he made us promise that we would take care of his dog. Now, Pastor, you may not be able to understand it, and you may think we're foolish when we lavish so much love upon this dog, but in our way, it is our way of expressing love for our son. We love that dog simply because our son loved it so much." My friends, if for no other reason, I will tell you why you and I should love the church. We should love the church because God and His Son love the church, and Jesus died for it. In spite of all of its faults, all of its flaws, and all of its failures, God loves the church, and so should you. If you love the Lord Jesus, you will love what Jesus loves. If you love the head, you will love the body. Now, may I make a few suggestions to you? You are somebody in Jesus' body. Accept yourself. You may not be a shoulder to bear burdens. You may simply be an ear to listen or an eye to watch. Accept yourself. Accept where God has placed you. Next, be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. When I first started preaching, I would look at other preachers and say, I want to be like him, or I want to be like that one. I then figured out that I can never be one of them. But I can be the best Walter Fry there ever is. Accept yourself and be yourself, and then give yourself. Every part of the body gives. The heart gives, the lungs give, the liver gives. You have to give to get to live. We are in this together, brothers and sisters. Accept yourself, be yourself, and then give yourself. I like what Michael said this morning about the offering. When you put your offering in, he said, put yourself in the offering plate. That is good. That is good. I like that. We should give of ourselves. Work together. And when we do, do you know who will be shown? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will be shown because He lives in this body. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. We are the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. You get into the body when you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you join His commandment-keeping people. I know there are those who should be joining and surrendering their hearts fully and totally to the Lord, and joining with God's commandment-keeping people and become a part of His body. And I don't know what keeps them out. But we as a church need to pray for each other. We need to pray for those who need to take a stand and not be embarrassed or afraid of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are embarrassed to be called a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, then we don't need to come to church here. We should never be embarrassed to be called a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, we know that You love each one of us. And we know that You want to save each one of us. You died to save us. And You promised to do just that if we would trust You. Dear Jesus, we believe You're the Son of God. We believe You died for our sins and paid for our sins with Your blood on that cross. We believe that the Father raised You from the dead, and now by faith we receive You into our hearts. Come into our hearts right now. Please, Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and take control of our lives and begin to make us the people You want us to be. Help us to surrender any idols in our life which would inhibit us from this complete surrender. And Lord Jesus, help us to make it public and not be ashamed of You. Just give us the strength, and we will make it public today that we love You. In Your name we ask this. Amen.